WDBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump called the U.S.-Russia talks today in Saudi Arabia a milestone. It's the first time both countries have held meetings since Russia invaded Ukraine. Ukraine and European allies were not included in talks on how to end the war. At his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida, President Trump was asked if he would support peacekeeping troops in Ukraine if a deal's made.
If we have a peace deal, I think having troops over there from the standpoint of Europe, we won't have to put any over there because, you know, we're very far away. But having troops over there would be fine. I would not object to it at all.
The president also signed another round of executive orders today, including one to explore ways of expanding IVF access. The black boxes from the Delta jet that flipped at Toronto's Pearson Airport yesterday have been recovered and are being sent to the lab to be reviewed. And the Vatican says tests reveal Pope Francis has a double lung infection. He was initially being treated at the hospital for bronchitis. This is ABC News.
Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Tonight, Governor Tony Evers will give his budget address to the legislature. This is where he'll reveal his whole proposal, kicking off a negotiation process between him and Republicans. You can expect his priorities to align with what he discussed in his State of the State address a couple of weeks ago. He's revealed some parts of it already, including increasing funding for schools, reforms to Wisconsin's correctional system, and funding the new Office of Violence Prevention. His budget proposal also includes measures to lower the cost of child care and prescription medications. After the State of the State, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called Evers' priorities, quote, a whole lot of things that are not going to happen in Wisconsin. We'll have special coverage of the address tonight on 96.5 and 98.3 WISS. Over the next 2 weeks, Brown County and the Port of Green Bay will be meeting with eight groups who responded to the request for information and expressed interest in operating or developing the former Pulliam plant site. Dean Hain, director of the Port of Green Bay, said the discussions will center around job creation, economic development, and moving cargo. C. Rice is one of those interested parties with a plan to move the coal piles from downtown Green Bay to the Pulliam site. As the Wisconsin Supreme Court election begins to kick into high gear, a political action committee backed by Elon Musk is throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars into advertisements. The Building America's Future Political Action Committee is running over $400,000 worth of ads in support of the conservative candidate, Judge Brad Schimmel. Musk has publicly expressed his support for Judge Schimmel. Judge Susan Crawford's campaign has accused Musk of trying to buy the election for her conservative opponent. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
Badgers host Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, it's Wisconsin against Illinois tonight at the Kohl Center in Madison. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation after beating Purdue. Greg Gard says his team is better now at managing the shot clock.
That's important. I think it just shows the growth of this team. They couldn't make that play in October or November. They weren't accustomed, I think, to playing together as comfortable as they are right now.
We've learned that Marcus Sedbury is the new general manager of the Badgers football program. Sedbury has served as assistant athletic director at Wisconsin the past 3 years. He'll handle the players and coaches' contracts. Baseball, Brewers left-handed pitcher Nestor Cortes is at spring training in Arizona, trying to learn everyone's name in the clubhouse after 5 years with the Yankees.
Yeah, the names are going to be tough. Obviously, being, you know, so many years in another organization, gold glove caliber defense, and as a pitcher, that's what you want, so I'm very excited for that.
That's Brewers pitcher Nestor Cortes with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, lows to around 10 below, wind chills to 20 and 25 below. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, highs of 10 to 15 above. And with sunshine, we climb to the low 20s on Thursday and a warming trend into the weekend. Currently, it's 4.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Did you know more than 50,000 state residents report being scammed every year? I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Terry Barr. How you can protect yourself on the next New Wisco Weekend.
Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt Nair on air.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves the sin but hates the sinner, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome. Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Pete Schwabba. I will be manning the mic here for the next couple hours, hoping to make you feel better on a Tuesday, a winter Tuesday in Wisconsin, or as we like to say, since we light it up here every night, Conrad, Fuse Day. See what I did there?
That was great.
You look like you're like embarrassed to laugh at that. And you know what? I've had about enough of your crap already, and we're only 30 seconds into the show. How you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm good. You know, yesterday, I forgot who said it on the stream, but it is the dead of winter.
Yeah.
And it really feels like it.
It sure does. At least it was sunny today, but it's freezing. It's 8 degrees outside here in Green Bay. I hope it's a little warmer down south if you guys are Madison, Beloit, whatever. But man, it is, yeah, it's cold. And it's not too bad because like I run out to my car, I warm it up. I let it get warmed up for about 10 minutes before I leave. So when I get in the car, it's nice and toasty. But there's still that just chill in the air. It is really depressing. However, having said that, we're going to light it up here tonight, folks. It's great to have you with us. Hopefully we can warm your hearts with some comedy, some music. Got a great show for you tonight. My guest tonight, our comedian, Jim Flanagan. He will be here at 6:35. Very funny guy. Just a classic, really solid, good, kind of out of that Chicago mold. Irish-looking comedian, very funny, and I'm very excited to have Jim on the show. I've been trying to get him for a while, and we finally were able to figure out something so Jim could be here, and he will be here on the stream at 6:35. So very excited to meet Jim and talk to him a little bit about comedy and his career and what he's got coming up. And then at 7:20, the guy behind the guy, J.B. Thompson, introduced us to a guy named Jason Moon. Jason is a musician. He is a veteran of the Iraq War, and he founded a project called Warrior Songs. And I think his other foundation is called Arizona Warriors. But he teaches and encourages healing for veterans through music. And I'm very excited to talk to Jason. He's got a really interesting story. He himself, as I mentioned, was a veteran, was hurt in combat, I believe. And we're going to share some of his music too. It's outstanding. And he's going to tell us a little bit about what they do with Warrior Songs. So that's going to be fun. That's at 7:20. And this is kind of fun too. I'm very excited about tonight's question. We got a lot of activity last night with our Saturday Night Live question. But tonight, I noticed when I was just kind of putting the show together today that John Hughes passed away. Well, it's his birthday this week. He passed away in, was it 2009 already? This is going to bother me if I don't find this. He was only 59 years old, and he is just such a prolific writer-director, and he, 2009, he was only 59 years old when he died, and he has blessed our lives with his great films. I grew up on John Hughes movies, and that leads us to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite John Hughes movie? You know the films, we grew up with them. 16 Candles. She's Having a Baby, Mr. Mom, Vacation. We can even throw Home Alone in there because I think he wrote Home Alone, but did not direct it. Yeah.
Oh.
The guy has done everything. The Great Outdoors, Uncle Buck, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. Okay, whatever. Weird Science.
Oh, come on. I love that movie.
I know you love that movie. 16 Candles, as I mentioned. What else do we got here? Vacation might be my favorite. He also wrote Christmas Vacation.
There's just one in there that I think sticks out.
Home Alone 2?
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Automobiles.
There we go.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yes. Pretty in Pink. It's interesting. I would have to say, did I say The Breakfast Club? I would have to say Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, in my opinion, is probably his best movie from a perfection standpoint. But personally, I don't know. I might have to say Ferris Bueller's Day Off or Vacation.
It has. So, okay. Remember how I was talking about the worst Home Alone I seen was the last one they came out with?
Yeah.
Home Sweet Home Alone. It says that he was actually a writer on it. But it didn't come out until 2021.
Well, sometimes you get like written by credit if you created the initial.
Okay. Okay.
Like Greg Liano, when we've had him on, he still gets credit for Meet the Parents, even though he hasn't worked on the scripts because he created the whole thing. So that's probably what's happening there with John Hughes.
It does say that Mikey Day wrote that too. So
really? Beavis?
That's make some better films, Mikey Day.
Yeah. There are some that are forgettable. I thought Pretty in Pink was just okay. Some Kind of Wonderful I saw once. I thought it was kind of forgettable, but even his forgettable or decent movies, 2.5-star movies, are better than some of the stuff they put out now. But I would have to say his best film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. My personal favorite, it's a tie between Ferris Bueller and Vacation.
I loved Uncle Buck, though, too.
Yeah, a lot of people do. It's a good film.
Such a good film. Vacation is definitely up there, too, though.
But what would you say your favorite is, Uncle Buck?
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation, okay.
Because I go to that movie every Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, there's so many to choose from. I mean, the guy has just had this incredible career. And in the Beats tomorrow coming out, 16 Candles turned 40 this weekend. Over last weekend, I should say.
Oh, wow.
And and it was supposed to be shot as a $1 million film in Chicago independently in 1982. And then it gained some traction. He sold a couple other films. And before you know it, I think it was The Breakfast Club I'm talking about. I'm confused here.
Yes.
The Breakfast Club turned 40. And the next thing you know, he's John Hughes and he's putting all these movies into production. He became a legend. And most of them, I would say, if not all, were shot in and around Chicago, right here in the Midwest. Vacation, obviously, they went on the road, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but such a prolific talent, writing and directing. That is our question of the night, folks. What is your favorite John Hughes film? Could be something he wrote, directed. There's no right answers. There are only your answers, and we will read them on the radio happily. Let's have fun with this one because it's a great, you got a lot to choose from. As I mentioned, Some Kind of Wonderful, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Vacation, Christmas Vacation, both of the first Home Alones, and Conrad said the fourth?
The fifth, actually.
The fifth.
It has his name attached to it, but let's hope he's not.
I would be surprised anyone.
Yeah, he's connected to all the Home Alones.
All the Home Alones. He created it.
Yeah.
The Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, Some Kind of Wonderful, It says 16 candles.
He made Drillbit Taylor.
Is that true?
It's on his movie list.
I'm not going to put that on my favorites, but Uncle Buck. It's a funny movie. Yeah, he was still making movies. I mean, Weird Science even. I forgot about Weird Science.
Flubber?
He made that one too?
I didn't know that.
I've got a list here of like his top 15. Here's The Great Outdoors.
Yes. Funny one. Yes, I actually watched that over this weekend because it was just on.
Mr. Mom could be one of, I would say Mr. Mom is one of his better films. Maybe not the funniest, although it's very funny. Michael Keaton's hilarious in it. Martin Mull. Terry Garr. But that's a really solid movie. She's Having a Baby is a good movie about people, Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth Montgomery, about to be parents for the first time. Alec Baldwin did a great cameo in that. So let us know what your favorite John Hughes movie is, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. So easy to use. The Civic Media app is a piece of cake. Click on any one of the stations because we are on statewide and just click the little text icon and fire away and let us know what you think. You can also text on the stream, YouTube, Facebook. Am I getting everything, Conrad?
YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter.
X, Twitter. The X Twitter,
that yes.
Makes sense. And let us know. Also, the phone lines are open, folks. You're welcome to give us a call. Tell us what you think. It's always more fun when you guys participate. So that is our show for tonight. We got a lot of stuff going on. There's this is so creepy. I saw this and I wrote a beat about this for tomorrow in the Hollywood Beats. Guy Pearce, one of my favorite actors, he's nominated this year for a Best Supporting Actor Oscar for The Brutalist. It says Kevin Spacey harassed him on the set of L.A. Confidential, one of my all-time favorite movies. Guy Pearce is brilliant in it. Kevin Spacey's good in it. It was really hard to read this stuff about Kevin Spacey when it first came out. But now Guy Pearce is saying Spacey was aggressive with him and harassed him on the set. Didn't assault him, but was very aggressive. And he was in a position of power, and Pearce downplayed it. But Guy Pearce also said when all these accusations came out, like in 2017, he heard all these people coming forward and he sobbed, thinking about all these other people going through what he went through. Guy Pearce also told his wife that he liked going to the set on days when Simon Baker was there because Kevin Spacey, would turn his attentions to Simon Baker. How sad is that? I mean, you're part of one of the greatest films, in my opinion, ever made. Just all aspects of movie making there. Script, direction, acting, sets, a period piece, just a great soundtrack. And you're trying to avoid this creep. The experience is not even great for you because of Kevin Spacey. It's so horrible. And that was part of the Me Too movement, I guess, is when all that came out too. But I just read that last night, and it kind of just made me sad because I'm like, what a cool film to be a part of, and then you don't even get to enjoy it. What do you think about the no-shows at the Saturday Night Live thing that came out?
I wonder why Bill Hader just said, no, I'm good.
It is weird. I mean, if like half the people said no thanks, I get it. But almost everybody went that was invited except Aykroyd, Bill Hader, and Dana Carvey. And Bill, Colin Quinn.
Bill was part of it for a while, too, so I'm surprised he didn't.
Something like 10 years or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a surprise. And they're not giving excuses. They're just saying, no, I didn't want to go. Like, okay.
All right.
Who am I to argue with that? All right. When we come back, we're going to hear some of Jim Flanagan's comedy, and we'll read your text. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Appleton Cigar Company on College Avenue has been serving the community for over 25 years. If you are a cigar aficionado looking for a one-of-a-kind experience, you need to check out Appleton Cigar, which boasts the largest selection of cigars north of Milwaukee with over 706 cigars to choose from in a walk-in humidor. The Cigar Lounge offers an impressive variety of spirits and cocktails that pair perfectly with a premium cigar. For the full experience, come to Appleton Cigar at 415 College Ave, Monday through Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. For more information, go to appletoncigar.com.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
Confidence is knowing you're ready to handle whatever comes your way. That's what it feels like to take on your workday with Cintas. They make sure your AEDs are up to date, your fire extinguishers are tested and inspected, your floor mats are cleaned and delivered, and your workwear looks good, feels good, and is freshly laundered with a Cintas Apparel Plus program. So are you ready to take on today? Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manor is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree
with
whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the
You're
app.
Listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
What is your favorite John Hughes movie? That is tonight's question of the night. It is John Hughes' birthday today. I said I think his best movie is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I think it's almost a perfect film. My favorites, however, well, that probably is my favorite. But if I had to go a tied for a second, I'd go Ferris Bueller and Vacation. Conrad says Uncle Buck and Christmas Vacation. So we've got some variety going here. Let us know what your favorite John Hughes film is, though. Dan Schaefer, that is such a great ad. I love that music he uses. Yeah. I always think it's going to be the Cranberries. And then it kind of diverges and goes this way. But remember when he was on the show, his favorite show is The Wire. And Dan and I were going to do a breakdown of The Wire. So let's not forget to do that. We got to have him on. And we'll do like, we could do like 45 minutes just on The Wire. Because I know he's as big a fan as I am. Maybe even bigger. Our text lines and phone lines are open, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Flanagan, comedian from Chicago, will be here at 6:35. We'll be talking about Jim's career a little bit, and we'll hear some of his comedy in just a few minutes. We've got text line, phone lines open. Sherry from Horicon says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Good evening, Sherry. We haven't heard from Sherry in a while.
I was thinking that.
What did you do? Did you piss her off or something?
I don't think so.
No? Okay. She's very temperamental. She's not temperamental.
I'm sorry, Sherry, if I did anything to offend you.
I'm sorry if Conrad did anything. Tom from Los Angeles says, Sully and Lambo. Am I missing something there? Favorite John Hughes films? I don't know what that is, Tom. Maybe I got, he says, and this is Lombardi. Am I reading the wrong text again? I've done that before.
I think he was showing his dog if you go one below.
Oh.
Picture of his dog.
Gorgeous doggy, Tom. I love it. That's a great name. Sully and Lambo. He's just sharing his dogs. That's great. But folks, you can share with us whatever is going on. I just want to make sure I was getting the context of the text right and that I wasn't reading that like it was a John Hughes film. Thank you, Tom, for the text. Sherry says, Mr. Mom. Yeah, great film. Really solid film. She says, there are way too many. I agree, Sherry. Annie from Watertown says, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Excellent choice, Annie. Anna from Madison. Hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite John Hughes movie is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I love that movie. She even threw in the little emojis, the plane and the train and the automobile. She must have had to dig for those because, like, when I want to use a different emoji like that, I have to scroll. It takes me, like, 8 minutes. So I appreciate the effort, Anna. Thank you. From the 608, this could be the toughest question so far. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is mine. Yeah, it's tough to disagree with that 608. Monica from Mount Horeb says, I think I like them all, but Christmas Vacation and Vacation. Still laugh at the squirrel in the Christmas tree and dead grandma. You know, the first time I saw the dead grandma on the station wagon, I didn't even laugh that hard when I was a kid because I thought, I just didn't really buy it. I'm like, come on. But as I got older, she is so annoying. And it makes sense that they wouldn't want a dead person in the car with the kids. I totally buy that now. Isn't that weird?
It
somehow has become more plausible to me over the years. Great text, Monica. Thank you. Eric from Lodi says, I've got to say National Lampoon's Vacation because my family was both the Griswolds and Cousin Eddie's family at various times growing up. Everyone's favorite line from Cousin Eddie and my family was, let's go find your sister. Pretty creepy. Eric also says, but Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is a masterclass in buddy road movies. I agree. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, my wife and I just call it PTA, and Midnight Run, two of my favorite road movies. Anna from Madison says, Pete, I didn't see Joe Piscopo at the SNL 50th show either. He did a great Sinatra impression. That's right, he did. I don't know how popular he was, though, Anna, and I don't have any inside knowledge. I just remember rumblings that he was difficult to work with, so maybe they didn't invite him, but I don't know. Eric from Lodi says, my wife and I took a trip to South Dakota a couple of years ago and an homage to Vacation stopped at every tourist trap we could find on the way out there. That's part of the fun. Oh, that he sent, is that him? Has he sent a picture? Is that Eric?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a corn cob with a face on it.
Yeah, that's definitely a tourist trap. That's awesome. Thank you, Eric, for the photo, too. Brian from Milwaukee says, John Hughes wrote the National Lampoon films, Class Reunion, Vacation, European Vacation, Christmas Vacation. That's right. I forgot about Class Reunion. Great text, everybody. These are fantastic. All right. So our guest in just a few minutes, I want to get this clip in before we bring Jim on because it's great stand-up. He's a very talented stand-up comedian. And here is a sample of his comedy. This was shot at Zany's, I believe, fairly recently. But let's hear some Jim Flanagan, Conrad.
One of my hobbies last year, this is the real thing that happened to me. I was riding a bike. I went out for my first bike ride on a brand new bike, and I got hit by a car. Okay? I'm fine now, unless any of you work for State Farm Insurance. And if you do, I'm still under continuing doctor supervision. We're working through a few things on the back end. The person who hit me, she was so nice. She waited for help to arrive, but just kept saying the same thing over and over and kept just going, I just didn't see you there. I just didn't see you there. And eventually I wanted to help. So I was like, hey, listen, you don't need to say that part. I know you didn't see me there. That's implied. You not seeing me there is the basis of our whole conversation. I can't even imagine a scenario where you saw me, hit me with your car, and then came over to talk about it. I just don't even know what that would look like, you know? You're just kicking around the debris, and you're like, oh, hey, you made it. All right, I should probably explain a few things. I saw you there, I did. And I got mad, you know? So I was just like, we got to get rid of him. So I drove as fast as I could. And if I see you again, I'm going to keep trying. I really want to finish the job.
Great stuff. That's Jim Flanagan. He'll be here after the news at 6:35. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite John Hughes film? It's his birthday today. He passed away in 2009. I cannot believe he died that long ago. It does not seem like I remember getting that news and being kind of shocked. Jim from Kenosha says, I'm with Conrad, Uncle Buck, but they are all great. Thank you, Jim. Brian from Milwaukee. Oh, he added something else to his previous text. He said, we watch the Christmas one as a family every Christmas.
Same.
Same here, Brian. What's the other, on the stream we got Jim Denny checking in, says Ferris Bueller's Day Off, though they all are great, hilarious movies. He's brought a lot of joy to our life, folks. We're going to bring a little more joy to your life after the news with comedian Jim Flanagan. That's coming up. Jason Moon, Warrior Songs. We're going to talk about veterans healing through music at 7:20, and we'll be reading your texts all night. Chime in, let us know how you're feeling. Wisconsin, it is great to have you with me on this Tuesday. Fuse Day, as we call it, because we're lighting it up. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Open up your heart. Let's come together.
a new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, WISS.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. A 30-year-old Waupaca man received four traffic citations after his pickup crashed into a stopped school bus last week. Jordan Gilbo got citations for non-registration of a vehicle, driving while suspended, reckless driving, endangering safety, and failing to stop for an unloading school bus. No criminal charges were filed in the February 11th incident in Royalton. Four students were either on the bus, had just gotten off, or were in the process of getting off the bus when it was hit. After over 70,000 votes were cast worldwide, the late John Brosik of Pound, Wisconsin, was named the 27th member of the Green Bay Packers Fan Hall of Fame out of a field of 10 finalists Monday. Brosik passed away on December 28, 2024, shortly after being named a Fan Hall of Fame finalist. He was so proud of the honor, he asked his family to include the exciting news in his obituary. Dedicated and passionate, Brosik became a Packers season ticket holder back in 1962, and for more than 60 years, he attended every game included in his ticket package at Lambeau Field. He and his wife also watched the Packers play at 29 different NFL stadiums. In an excerpt from the nomination essay, his family wrote of his battle with cancer, saying, "Unfortunately, Dad was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer in June 2024. When asked what goals he'd like to set, the first goal was to attend the 2024 home opener so he wouldn't break his streak and could start year number 60. They made that happen. Brosig's name will now be permanently enshrined in the Packers Hall of Fame. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
Sometimes Marvel movies are review-proof, such is the case with Captain America: Brave New World, which was number one at the box office this past weekend. Despite mediocre reviews, the franchise flick pulled in $192 million at the worldwide box office to lead the way. Theater owners in the U.S. were particularly happy, as the fourth Captain America film brought in about $100 million domestically. Not bad for February. The other big film opening this weekend was Paddington in Peru. The third installment in the popular Paddington franchise finished in second place, bringing in $13 million at the box office. Paddington will probably find a bigger audience when it goes to streaming and VOD. Sony Pictures' Heart Eyes took in about $10 million in its second weekend to finish in third place, and it was Mufasa the Lion King holding steady in fifth place during its ninth week of release with $4.2 million. Starting to think I'm the only person that hasn't seen this movie. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, lows to around 10 below, wind chills to 20 and 25 below. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, highs of 10 to 15 above. And with sunshine, we climb to the low 20s on Thursday and a warming trend into the weekend. Currently, it's 4.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild returns to discuss the results of the primary election. Also, why did Judge Chutkan deny 14 attorneys general requests to block Doge firing? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Hi, this is Danny Slate, and you are listening to Nightlight with Geek Schwabba.
Brian from Milwaukee says, Ferris Bueller's Day Off is a classic when they try rewinding the speedometer. I seriously love every movie or every scene in that film. Keep those texts coming, folks. What is your favorite John Hughes movie? It's his birthday today. It's also Molly Ringwald's birthday. And she's another one of my exes who rarely calls, can't seem to get her on the show.
I didn't know that.
I think she was cheating on me.
Oh, well,
I don't know.
Sorry about that, man.
I don't blame her. I'm just saying. Jason Moon coming up at 7:20. He's going to talk about a great project that he founded called Warrior Songs. He is a veteran and a musician, and he's going to talk about healing veterans through music. That's at 7:20. Very excited to talk to Jason and meet him. Also very excited to bring on this next guest. I've never had the pleasure of meeting Jim in person, but I'm so thrilled he's on the show. I've tried to have him on now for a while. He's a very busy guy, but he's taken time out to join us tonight over the stream. Chicago-based comedian Jim Flanagan. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Pete. Man, I just got back to Chicago. Pretty excited to be back in this 8-degree weather. Just spent 10 days in Phoenix and Vegas. And why do we live here? What's going on? Why are we in the Midwest?
Hey, so my folks in 1979 decided Chicago wasn't cold enough. We're going to move to northern Wisconsin. And the trend in the country was going warm places. I don't understand. Now, it worked out well. I met my wife here and I live there now. I have no idea how that happened, but I'm thankful for it. But it is an odd choice when you can pick wherever you want to go and you pick a very cold place.
How old were you when you moved?
12. So
okay, you do remember it here.
Oh yeah, I lived on the northwest side, just off the Kennedy, about 2.5 miles west of Wrigley. Where are you?
I'm in the western burbs now. But what a crazy feeling that has to be to long warm weather of Chicago winters.
I know.
Just, it's just getting further and further north.
What's so
is Canada
crazy?
Not available to them?
What's so crazy, Jim, is like people when I went back to Chicago to go to college, they're like, oh, man, you're way up there. That's freezing up there. I'm like, it's 5 degrees different. Some days we're even warmer somehow. I don't even know how that happens. But if you want to convince yourself you live in the tropics, that's fine with me.
Absolutely. I love it up there, though. It's beautiful country, man. Oh, I love northern Wisconsin.
It is. It's a very easy place to live. The people are great. No complaints at all. But Chicago's a great town, too, and it's a great town to do stand-up in. I started my stand-up career there years and years ago. It was such a fun place. Is it a good town to start in, Jim?
Absolutely. I mean, nowadays it's even better than when I started. You can get up, 3-4 times a night in Chicago. There's so many clubs now. There's, Zany's downtown, Laugh Factory, Comedy Bar, plus all the independent bar shows and things like that going on. I'm forgetting some. There's, 3 clubs in the suburbs alone now. So there's just so much you can do. Great comics. People come through before New York or LA. I mean, not, up the city I live in, but I mean, I think it's the best combination of talent and stage time that you get at any point in your career compared to a New York or LA. There's such great comics there, but the competition's so big, it's very hard to get stage time in those cities, right?
Yeah.
So Chicago kind of offers a nice little blend of both worlds. I love it. I highly recommend it.
That's fantastic. How did you get started, Jim? How long have you been doing it, and how did you get started?
Yeah, so kind of the same as most of us, Pete. I went to an open mic one night, figured I'd check it out, see how it went, and you have to do well. It's kind of like gambling, how you have to win once to get hooked.
Right.
You know what I mean? No one loses all the time and then becomes a gambling addict. And I think it's the same with stand-up. I had a great set my first time out, and I was like, this is easy. And then the next time I went back without all my friends in the audience, and I was like, oh, this is terrible. I'm not good at this. you know, and then you kind of, but from there, like once you have that feeling, I mean, you know better than it. Once you have that feeling, it's like, okay, now I want to figure out how to recreate that more consistently. And, but that was about 20 years ago. I kind of took a long road. I mean, I did stand up on and off for a long time. And it probably wasn't, I took about 5 years off from like 2010 to 2015. And I was just doing sales and I was kind of happy in my life. I actually was dating a woman from Wisconsin who had moved down here. We were living together and I was traveling for work and it didn't make sense to also be gone on the weekends. So right. I kind of took some time away. And then one day I was like, you know what? I want to figure out how good at this I can be. And I, for the first time in my life, I really made a push at it. And about 3 years ago, at 40 years old, I went full time at it for the first time in my life.
So, no kidding.
A really backwards timeline of how you're supposed to do this, you know?
Right. But there's no right or wrong. I mean, you found it. And are you still together with the girlfriend?
No, okay. No, there's only wrong. Let me say that there are wrong ways to do stand up, but the, you're right. Maybe there is no blueprint of how to do it most successfully. But if there's a wrong way, I've found it. I've made a mistake.
Well, you eventually got there. That's great. Let me ask you something, Jim. I like to ask comedians this. When was the moment, and it's different with you because you said like you took all these little detours, but when was the moment in your life where you thought, I think I can do that and I'm going to give it a shot? Did something click? Did a light bulb go off? How did you find that time?
I just want to make sure, Pete, are you talking about like once you've already kind of a little stand up, but like to say, I think I could really do this like for a living?
No, I'm saying like when you were, let's say 20 or 15 or 25 or whenever it was where you go, I'm doing that. I'm going to try this because I think I can do it.
Yeah, I think it was more naivety. You know what I mean? Like, I think it was just kind of like this thought of like, let's just see what that's about. I enjoy it. I love watching it. And it was like, it looks so easy until you do it. Right. You know, and we talk to people every day who are like, yeah, I'm pretty funny around my friends. And
yeah,
we all think that that just translates easily to being funny to strangers for money, which it doesn't. It's a completely different, you know, it's like I played football in the backyard. I could probably be in the NFL. It's such a different world. Right. But then I don't know. I got up there one night and it was just like, I think I'd written for about 3 months before I tried it. And it was all garbage. I mean, it was all so bad, but I think everyone's so bad at the beginning, especially at open mics. And it was a contest. And actually, it was myself and a guy named Vince Carone, and we're both still doing it. We tied to win the contest our first night out.
Nice.
And then the next week, we had to go back and headline the contest. And it was one of the worst experiences of my life.
Oh, no.
But I think you need that, right? I think I think bombing is more helpful to you in this game than doing well.
Right. Do you ever meet those comics, Jim, where you're like, they're always, and most of it's because they're not professionals yet, but you'll say, oh, I really bombed at that room. And they'll go, oh, really? God, I killed. Like, it's like, okay, is that what we're doing here? You know, like
100%. They don't know that there's so many differences between when you go up and what you're following and just, I mean, the audience, what you're saying, what you're working on. Like, there's the guys who say, I never bombed. It's like, okay, then you've never tried.
Right.
You've never gone out there and really put yourself on a limb. You're just doing stuff that you know they'll react to versus like really putting yourself out there.
That's a great way to say that. So let me ask you this, Jim. You did, I when I Googled you today, I was looking for something to play to kind of tease your appearance. And I saw part of a recent comedy special called Nateland Presents. And it's Nate Bargatze, who is like the biggest name right now in comedy. The guy has completely blown up. He's unbelievable. And that was that sort of a special he put together? And I love Nate Land, like he's got his own country now or something, like he's that big.
Yeah, you know, right? Yeah. He's taken over.
He's 100%. Taken over.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not just worried about annexing Greenland at this point, but now Nate Land is on the radar.
It's no, the golf of
Nate
Land
is his podcast. Exactly. Nate Land is his podcast. And then it's kind of his way of kind of taking and building that brand and then introducing the world to some comedians who can work clean. I say that because I don't usually work clean, but I think I have the ability to do so. And he wanted to kind of be able to showcase some people who, you know, maybe hadn't seen the spotlight yet. And it's an honor to be on one of the first episodes of that. I mean, it was just a really cool experience. We got to, he couldn't have been nicer. He couldn't have been more gracious. So he took us on his tour bus, kind of gave us a little tour of what his life is like now. He was there. He produced the whole thing. He was really involved. He the cool thing was, and I think you know from all your time doing stand-up, those big shows, like, you add so much extra pressure to yourself sometimes, and just the moment itself add pressure. He did everything he could just to make it feel like we were just doing stand-up at a club. He had as few extra people, as few cameras as possible. He's like, I just want you doing the thing you do without feeling like this is a big deal. And it went a long way just to make us feel comfortable and just make it a experience. Zany's down in Nashville.
You had a great set. Yeah, that must have been a kick. I can't figure out Nate Bargatze. Like, the guy does not tell jokes, but he gets huge. Like, his style is so, it must have taken years to perfect, I would assume. I don't know how long he's been doing it, but you kind of have a similar way. You have jokes, Jim, but you also tell stories. What do you prefer?
I think everything you do has to be based in jokes, right? And I love telling stories, but I want to explain it in a funny way along the way. To me, there's nothing worse than a long setup to get to a punchline at the end of a story, because if it doesn't pay off, you've just lost the time. And I don't like dead air. I like, you know, I want right. consistent punchlines throughout a set, right? And through jokes of storytelling, because I think it's something that's more relatable to people than just kind of one-liners, just for me personally, and just for who I am. But I think they have to be like punchline packed throughout the way.
That's very interesting. Yeah, there's nothing worse, like when you're on stage and there's complete silence. It's like, wow, I usually get a laugh there. I don't know what happened there. Like,
it's the worst feeling. And it happens every night. Like, there's never a set when you're doing a long period of time that you're like, that went exactly how I wanted it to. You know, there's always something that doesn't what you want it to. And so I think the more opportunities I have to get laughs, the higher of a percentage I bat.
Take
maybe them. That's just illusion in my mind. Yeah, that's how it works.
My guest is Jim Flanagan. He's a Chicago-based stand-up comic, very funny guy. We were talking about, he just appeared on a Nate Bargatze special, and then you also did your own dry bar special, Jim, and you talk about how you don't work clean all the time, but you obviously had enough material or clean enough set to get a dry bar special. That's a pretty big deal for a comic these days, isn't it?
I actually have not gotten a dry bar, but I think what we're doing right now, Pete, is we are willing it into existence. I am hopeful for a dry bar, and that's what we're doing here today. We're going to start
it from. What are all these tags under these YouTube videos that say dry bar under where you were?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think anytime you do something clean, people just kind of associate with that. And
yeah.
And I get much. That's the nicest thing anyone said, to assume that I have a clean 45-minute special. What I usually get is people thinking they're coming to see Jim Gaffigan and then being sorely disappointed.
You're basically a Christian comedian. That's what I'm trying to say here, Jim. I think you've got a huge...
that's what they assume for me.
Do you prefer
I was
to
doing
work
a show
clean?
Here in Chicago. Oh,
go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm on a little delay. I was doing a show here in Chicago about a month ago, and someone walked up to me afterwards, and she goes, "You were very funny, but you're not who we thought we were seeing." And I was like, "Did you think you were seeing Jim Gaffigan?" And she goes, "That's it. That's who we thought it was." And I was like, "Okay, you're not seeing him for $10 at a pizza place. This is on you."
You're not Steve Martin.
To answer your last question.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I think that everything I do, I want to be able to be clean, because I want to be able to do it anywhere. But I think there's a lot of times where the audience doesn't want that. You have to be able to spice it up. But to me, it's a lot easier to add swear words to a joke than to take them out of a joke, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
I can always pepper them in there. I can make it dirtier. If someone goes, "Hey, make your set dirty," done. But if someone says, "Make your set clean," that's a much harder thing to do. So I figure if you start from a place of clean, it goes better.
I can give you clean and unfunny, or dirty and funny. All right. So let's... All right, we got a lot to cover here, and we don't have Jim all night, but he's joining us here on the stream. We're going to do a very short break, and we'll come back with our guest, comedian Jim Flanagan, joining me here on Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WIS. You're listening to WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee, WMDX Columbus, Madison, WGBW Green Bay, WISS Oshkosh, WZBU New Holstein, WLCX La Crosse, and WBZH Hayward. Welcome to special coverage of Governor Tony Evers' biennial budget address on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hear the governor's message about the two-year budget as he delivers his proposal to the legislature at the Wisconsin Capitol tonight. And after the polls close at 8, you'll also get some of the results and information from your local spring primary election today.
We start with special coverage of the governor's budget address. Live from Madison, here are your hosts, Todd Alba and Dan Schaefer.
And good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our coverage of two key events for Wisconsinites. It's spring primary election day, and a reminder, polls are still open for just over another hour until 8 o'clock. If you're in line, stay there. Wisconsin law says if you're in line to vote at a polling place by 8 p.m., you have the right to cast a ballot even past that 8 p.m. mark, so be aware of that. Our Wisconsin Decides 2025 election team is standing by across the state and will bring you results throughout the evening, most notably the race for the state school superintendent of public instruction, where incumbent Dr. Jill Underley, a Democrat, has two challengers, fellow Democrat Jeff Wright, the current superintendent of the Sauk Prairie School District, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant being supported by the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Now, while the race is technically nonpartisan, in the last 20 years plus, much like the races for a state Supreme Court, these races and positions have become essentially shadow partisan contests. But first, we turn our attention to Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers' biennial budget address that's about to get underway just about a block from where we are in the assembly chambers of the state capitol. I'm joined now via phone from the capitol by the founder of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's
Okay, I guess we're having some technical difficulties there. We're getting the heads up from Mr. Sommers, our producer. He'll be along in just a minute, though. Dan Schaefer, the as we say, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, who's standing by in the state capitol. I know Dan is has credentials. He'll be there on the ground tonight covering that for us, both at the capitol, and one of the nice things about having our headquarters just a block away, Dan will be here at the desk here with me in our studios following the speech as well. So while we're awaiting Dan Schaefer to join us, let's set the stage just a little bit on some of these things that we expect tonight. One of the things Governor Evers has talked about in his budget, of course, is the Green Bay prison, which has been a bone of contention amongst both Republicans and Democrats for quite some time. It'll be interesting to see what the governor says about that. And also, of course, he declared about a month ago in his State of the State address it was going to be the year of the kid. I now believe we have established communication. Dan Schaefer, these things are always kind of touch and go. The Capitol, beautiful building, not so great for cell phone signals, but Dan Schaefer, help us recombobulate a little bit. We were here about a month ago. What makes tonight different from then?
Well, tonight is different because the state budget is the biggest thing that the state government does every 2 years is the budget, and that process starts tonight. And if you are hearing me with a little bit of an echo or a little bit of background sound here, it is because I have ducked into a random hallway in the Capitol because the UW Madison band is playing very loud in the rotunda right now. So if you're having any trouble hearing me, that's the reason why.
We hear you absolutely great, Dan. And boy, anybody who knows me knows I'm a sucker for the University of Wisconsin marching band. So I'm all in on that. I think that's a fantastic thing. This is
we love a little pomp and circumstance, don't we?
I absolutely love some pomp and circumstance. This is an evening again for traditionally people to hopefully come together. This happens every other year as Wisconsin budgets last for 2 years. In the Recombobulation Area, you've talked about this as Civic Media's political editor. What are a couple of things? I know some of this stuff has already been leaked out, quote unquote. They put it out ahead of time. But what are a couple of highlights you're expecting from the governor? Things that Republicans might be able to get behind, and then some other things they might not.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting dynamic. The governor did put a number of things out. He talked about some proposals for some targeted tax cuts, eliminating taxes on tips, which was also a bill that Republicans put forward. So perhaps some opportunity for some bipartisan collaboration on that. But I think as we look back to this era of divided government that we've been in for a number of years now in Wisconsin with a Democratic governor and a Republican-controlled legislature, you know, will the Republican legislature get just essentially toss out all of Tony Evers' budget proposals? Now, I think the governor will go through, you know, a number of things as he goes through his speech tonight, talking about priorities for the year. How will Republicans respond, and how will they respond with a slimmer majority than they've had, you know, at any point since Tony Evers became governor in 2019?
One of the overarching things, I guess, for political nerds like you and me is, a lot of times governors use these speeches to announce their reelection. Tony Evers' term ends after next year on his second term. A lot of people are wondering whether he'll make good on his tongue-in-cheek term of three-term Tony. But the governor said, Dan, he's not going to reveal his cards tonight.
Yeah, that's right. He's been saying, you know, after the budget. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see if there are any kind of tea leaves that we can see about what the governor is saying. If this were to be his last budget proposed as governor of the state of Wisconsin, or if this is something that, you know, would lead to another budget in 2 years, perhaps with a Democratic majority. So there's some intrigue kind of underlying all of this as well as far as the governor's future plans as well.
And Dan Schaefer, as you look at one of the overarching factor here at the state capitol is this surplus. Wisconsin the last few years has been running a surplus. Latest estimates by Bob Lang, nobody does it better than the director of the Fiscal Bureau. Wisconsin now at $4 billion with a B-plus and a surplus. Republicans have talked about wanting a big tax cut for Wisconsinites. Tony Evers says, I'll meet you maybe halfway or maybe a quarter away. Republicans are saying, oh no, that money is, you can't actually use that in budget for it because we want all that from last time's tax cut. What do you make of this $4 billion? Is it going to be a hot potato?
Yeah, I think we're already seeing that it's obviously going to be a very big deal for this budget process. Some of the early proposals that the governor has put out, you know, I think it was $300 million for mental health. There was a proposal he released over the weekend about the Department of Corrections. The overhaul there had a high dollar amount attached to it as well. And I think one of the items that he has prioritized in this, and not just this year, but in prior sessions as well, is childcare. You know, that was one of the items that the Republicans voted a lot of funding out of the governor's proposal 2 years ago. You know, and that was an item in the campaigns for a number of those assembly members in key districts talked about wanting to fund childcare. So will that get a different approach 2 years later? Remains to be seen.
Set the stage for us, Dan Schaefer. We're about to get underway here. Is all the legislators, the Senate, are they there in the assembly chambers by now?
Everybody is beginning to convene in the assembly chambers. The UW-Madison band has stopped playing, so I think that's my cue to duck of the random hallways in the Capitol and make my way back to the assembly chambers for the speech.
Dan Schaefer, political editor, we thank you for your time. We will talk to you after the broadcast. Thanks for making time for us, Dan. We appreciate it. Dan Schaefer, political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, as we await Governor Tony Evers. As Dan said, this is in the assembly chamber, which is the larger chamber of the two in the Wisconsin Capitol, and the Senate always makes the way over. They come in the back door. Of course, the Speaker Pro Tem announces the governor. He makes his way in. Lots of handshaking, kind of, as Dan said, pomp and circumstance here, as we're looking now live into the state capitol and the assembly chambers right now. It is festooned with red, white, and blue bunting in the chambers right now. People always kind of milling around